Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Hello and welcome back to the Tennis Connected Studios for November 6th, 2016. I'm Neiman Adairi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to review the Paris Masters from France, as well as talk about Andy Murray as the new world number one player. This week's podcast is brought to you by Grand Slam Tennis Tours. Make sure to hit them up for the ATP World Tour Finals in London next week, as well as for the Australian Open in January. Let's introduce our co-host for this week, Parsa. How are you, my friend?
Doing very well. How are you?
Doing great. It's weather's holding up nicely here in Toronto, and just finished watching, actually, just a second ago, Murray winning his eighth title of the year, fourth tournament in a row. And as we all know by now, Parsa, he is the new world number one ranked player, you know, overtaking Novak Djokovic in a tremendous effort. I mean, let's just start with that. I mean, putting aside, he just beat Isner right now, in Isner dumping a backhand volley in the net on match point. And, you know, Murray just confident grinding away, and, you know, he's the best player in the world. It's just, I think overall, my thoughts on it are pretty simple. I mean, this is, Andy Murray is just a testament to hard work and just, you know, putting your head down and never saying never, and just getting what you want at the end of the day. And I mean, he had to wait a long time. I mean, he's one of the oldest world, you know, players to debut at number one, I think, since John Newcomb in the early 70s. So it's, you know, it's a tremendous effort. You know, can you, you know, shed a little bit of, you know, light on what you think about his whole process and what he's had to go through this fall, you know, going to Asia, playing obviously Beijing where he didn't need to, Vienna last week where he didn't need to, but obviously winning those as well as the 1,000 level events in Shanghai and Paris.
I mean, what an achievement, Ima. I mean, he really, you know, sort of an exaggeration or an understatement, sorry, in you saying, you know, he's worked his butt off to get to this position. I mean, this guy has, you know, I remember seeing him when he was 17 years old and at a challenger, and we were in the same training room and talking to him, and just how much, and that's actually what flashed through my head this morning watching the final. I said, wow, you know how far this guy has come, like how far, you know, have I changed in the last 12 years and how far he's come in the last 12 years. It's yes, quite remarkable. You know, I can only imagine what it's like. You know, as a coach, I've been pretty successful, and you know, that took maybe 5 or 6 years after him and I were in that training room. And he's been grinding year after year through all sorts of life events, through athletic achievements, through disappointments. And finally to get to number one 12 years later is just, I mean, he must be overjoyed. That's all I can say about that. And just a remarkable accomplishment. And I believe that the 26th number one player on the ATP World Tour in history.
Yes.
And, just well deserved, Nima. There's not much that can be said. He is the best player for me in 2016, and you know, I think that this is all well deserved and an accomplishment achieved.
And you know, with everything that Murray has done, I mean, you can only take care of, you know, what's on your side of the net. You know what I mean, Parsa? You go out there, you play your game, and you're playing the ball, and you have different opponents. You know, different players bring different things: bigger serves, bigger forehands, better movement, what have you. But I think it also has to be noted as to how poorly Novak Djokovic has played. Because if you look at, you know, what the Serb did, you know, after winning in Paris, we did that podcast and we were like, how many more slams is this guy going to win? If you took it from that day, he's won, obviously, he didn't win Wimbledon, he didn't win the US Open, he won Toronto, which had a very weak field out, you know, it's in my backyard over here. Hasn't done anything else really after that. And it's you look at that and you say, well, obviously Djokovic has helped him out a lot. That's not to discredit anything that Murray has done, because I mean he just took care of what he had to do and he won everything. I mean he's won what 18 matches in a row. But it's amazing to me how much of a downfall we've seen from Djokovic, from winning in Paris, achieving that career Grand Slam of all four, which is, he joins Federer, Nadal, and some other greats, and then that was it. So it all, that's like it's like a big circle for me, right? And that got me thinking about how great Roger Federer is, because Federer hasn't won a major now, I think, for 4 or 5 years since 2012 Wimbledon, right? So his total hasn't changed since 2012. So he's 30, what, 35 now? So when he was like 30, 31. If you look at, and he had 17 at that point, he's been number one for 302 weeks, a lot of achievements, all the stuff. If Djokovic is already burnt out at 12, which is already, he's going to be one of the greatest ever, right? It just goes to show how great Federer was. And because, I mean, this is like, it's amazing. I don't know, what the future is going to hold for Novak. I still think he's definitely in the mix without a shadow of a doubt. But he's got a lot of questions to answer more than anything. I mean, this sport is, graded very harshly, especially when you're at the top. And, these guys, it's just a tough situation for Novak. But, we got to talk about Murray right now. And it looks like he's going to start a good thing for himself. He's going to get ready now. He's got a week off. London starts next Sunday. So we'll see how that transpires. I think he's got a definite shot of winning that as well, too. So just a few words on Novak for you, and then let's move on, a little bit on Paris and then into London.
I mean, Novak has lost his that feeling of invincibility from
Yes.
inside, his mental toughness. And when that happens, you just don't believe in those big moments that you can come through, or you're faced with adverse situations, and you don't necessarily believe that you can make it through. And when that happens, sometimes that's the end of the end. Sometimes people recover, a la Nadal has done time and time again. But you're talking about also in that situation, the greatest fighter of, I don't know, maybe in all sport. So, it's certainly not an easy place. And you sort of almost, based on the expertise, that I developed over the years, I know that Novak started as the soft mental guy. And once he made it onto the scene, and maybe he's going to end that way too, Nima. I'm not sure that he's going to have that ability to step it up and do it again. So
Yes.
that's something that we'll have to, I guess, remain to be seen. But I still think he can win a couple more slams, Nima. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
No, without a question. I mean, you got to look at, what everybody has to really take into consideration is a few factors. First of all, I think this is very relevant because when you look at Paris this week, they speeded up the court surface tremendously over last year, right? And while look at, Isner's making the finals, he doesn't do anything really outside of the US, but he's in the finals of a Masters 1000 event. You had Raonic in the semis who had to withdraw. You had Cilic who took out Djokovic, serving massive. I've talked about how much I like what Cilic is going to be doing this year as well as, going on for the rest of his career. I think after Shanghai, now this is the fastest court surface on tour for the Masters 1000 events. So you throw that in the mix. Now, how that is relevant to Djokovic is the court surfaces are very slow overall, which obviously, lends to his game. He can grind from the baseline, be, very proficient from back there and do stuff. And I mean, I think he's going to take some time off right now. I think he's kind of checked out for the rest of this year. He's going to obviously show up in Paris, do his thing. I mean, the reality of sorry, at London, Parsa. The reality of London, Parsa, is that there's not really. I don't think there's a lot going to be happening there because Raonic looks like he's out. He's got a torn quad, right? Team is completely burnt out, right? So you don't have Nadal there. You don't have Federer there. Stan could maybe do something because he had a weak effort here in Paris, but there's not really anybody else from that. Maybe Nishikori. I don't know. I mean, but there's not really anybody else in the way of having maybe a Djokovic and Murray finals. And if Djokovic can defeat Murray, I think that will, maybe give him the boost that he needs going into 2017. But that's really what we want to see, right? Because Murray throughout this entire run has not faced Djokovic. He hasn't really faced any top players. Again, that's not his fault. He's not choosing his draw. He's just going out there and playing who's ever on the other side of the net. But with that said, I mean that's the way tennis unfolds and that's how it goes. So we'll see what happens. But definitely, I think Djokovic is in some turmoil and it's not going to be the same. And like Robbie Koning said, and I mentioned on our last podcast, one of our tennis TV buddies, he puts so much into what he has to do to be where he has to be. From the diet to the training to the mental focus, he's hired like the spiritual trainer. He's, you know what I mean? He's going through so many different things. Federer doesn't do any of that stuff. He's in Geneva right now having some chocolate. You know, he's chilling. You know what I mean? He's gonna train. Nadal's in Mallorca relaxing on his boat. He's gonna, you know, he's coming back. These guys, even though they work tremendously hard, I don't think it's that at that extent. And after a certain point, that's gonna wear on you and you're gonna break down mentally, especially if something else in your personal life, you know, conjures up and you know, throws you off tilt a little bit. So I think it's going to be interesting times. And Murray right now is at the right place and at the right time, definitely to bag at least a couple more slams and get to maybe around five or six. Again, that's not a guarantee, but I think he definitely has that opportunity. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. It takes a lot of things moving in the right direction to get him to the spot where he is right now. I mean, there's no doubt about that. In terms of the other guys go, with Mr. Federer there it's an incredible, comparison, right? I mean, you have to compare the greatest of all time with every other number one. And to understand his achievement and the longevity of how he's done it and the way he's done it and with so much naturalness. I've always throughout my life of knowing him or knowing of him, I've always called him the artist on the tennis court. And he commands his life in a way that an artist does, and it's all from inside. It's all natural. It's all instinctual, and it's incredible to watch. What was the second part, Nemo?
About what do you mean with in terms of how
With
he's
Murray, how far Murray can go?
yeah, how far do you think he can like how long do you think he can keep this level up? And are we looking at a guy who's going to win maybe two or three more slams? Obviously has that potential because again you got to be realistic, right? At the highest level, players who are winning grand slams. Who won grand slams this year? Djokovic won a couple, Murray and Wawrinka, right? These are guys who else? I mean, and then look at the year before. There's not really any, like, Alex Zverev is not winning a slam. You know what I'm saying? Like, Milos has not won a slam. Like, when you look at guys who can actually win these tournaments, right now, you got to think there's only maybe two or three. Federer is not really there. I mean, the guy's going to be 36 next year. He hasn't played for 6 months. Nadal is not what he used to be. Hopefully, he gets back. And, there's got to be, obviously, there's going to be some up-and-coming guys that can get, I think, between that 8, 7, and 10 range on the rankings, but that still doesn't put you in Grand Slam contention, in my opinion. And then that's basically it. So I think, it's great time for him right now to really go forward and even try to complete his Grand Slam collection.
Absolutely. I
Yeah.
mean, I can't, you know, I mean, I have really nothing to add to that, Nima. I mean, it's something that he can definitely do, and something that's going to be fun to watch. Although I don't think it's going to last that long, Nima, to answer your question. A year or two maybe max. So two or three slams, I think, is very accurate. He's working way too hard in order to achieve this sort of level. And
Yeah.
it's a little bit late in his career, and he's not a big time, shot maker like Stan is. And Stan can sort of vacation for 50 weeks of the year and then be hot for two and win a slam and be a great player.
Exactly.
Murray's not like that at all.
And he's going to be 30 in a few months, like early next year, he's 30.
Yeah, he's going to be
So,
30 years old. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think a few things are working against him here,
Yeah.
but
Well,
I don't
first
know.
and
It
foremost, he's
remains
got
to be
to,
seen for sure.
yeah, first and foremost, he's got to target Australia. He's got to, what is he, lost five finals there? So he's got to, I mean, that's got to be, You know, his eyes got to be lighting up right there. He's got, like, if I was Murray, I'd be like, I'm super hungry, you know, to win that tournament. You know, you look at it since May 1st, Parsa, Murray is 60-5 with 8 tournament titles and 11 finals. And since, wow. You know what I mean? And his only tournament loss in the final came versus Nishikori in the 5-set. Prior to a final, has come in the quarterfinals of the U.S. Open to Nishikori, which obviously then opened up the door for a stand to beat him and then take out Novak. So it's, you know, it's been awesome. It's been a really cool year, I think, on the tennis calendar. We got one more tournament to go, Parsa, in London. We got the final 8 all locked up. Nice to see Dominic Thiem getting in after his efforts this year. He's the lowest points qualifier since, I think, Marty Fish in 2011. That's because, obviously, Nadal withdrew. He would have been in, even if he didn't play this fall. He was going to get in at number 7. He's out. But I think you're going to see probably Raonic withdraw, and you're going to see Burdick get in as the 8th guy. So it's not going to be, look, I'm not discrediting any of these guys because they're all incredible athletes and players, and they've done a lot for the sport. But in terms of, you know, big time names and, you know, things that fans are going to gravitate towards, I don't think you're going to see too many compelling matches in London. You might see, I mean, you know, you got Stan, Djokovic, and Murray, so that's going to be good. But after that, I think the level tremendously drops off because Nadal should have been there. Federer didn't play for 6 months. You have to think he would have been top 8. And then, you know, and then that's pretty much it. So you have those two guys in the mix who have won 14 and 17 slams respectively, regardless of their level, regardless of their age, it's still, you know, still good stuff to see out there. So, you know, that's pretty much my call on that. Wanted to also give a shout out, Parsa, because we left the fans last week without wrapping up the WTA finals in Singapore. So we got to give a shout out to Sybil Kova, who had a tremendous effort, Parsa, at 5'3", only in stature, beating Kerber, who's the reigning world number 1. And then we also had today, we had Kvitova taking out Slitovina in the WTA Elite Trophy event. Another season-ending tournament. So Kvitova has just been dynamite this year. I mean, she's, you know, won a lot of finals. She had an incredibly strong fall. So, you know, props to her as well as to Sybil Kova. It's going to be, I think, an interesting year on the WTA next year as well, too, with Serena definitely winding down. I mean, you look at Serena, I think she's got max 2 more years. I would be shocked if she plays past 2018. But, you know, that's just my call. And then you got Fed in the latter stages of his career on the men's side. He's got, I think, 2 more. I think he's going to come back fresh for next year. And then he's got a couple more years. And Nadal, depends on how many tournaments he plays. I think he plays a very limited schedule. He can play for another 3-4 years, but I don't know really at what level. And I think that's pretty much it. I mean, we're going to look forward now to coming back a little bit later in the week when the London draw is posted. And we'll give our thoughts on the two groups. I believe that it's going to be the John McEnroe group, Parsa, and the Yvonne Lendl group. That's what they're going with this year. So, you know, two great rivals there, two, you know, contrasting personalities, and hopefully the tennis also offers that much excitement. You know, with that said, Parsa, do you have any closing words for this week before we wrap it up?
No, I think just an honorable mention has to go to John Isner and yes. Saying, you know, his improved game and form. You know, that's a big achievement, I think, for him in the final, and something that he can build on, hopefully, for his last tournament of the year. So the American finishing on a positive note, he'll go through an off season with his new coach and see if he can continue this brand of attacking tennis. He had the volleys to keep the world number 1 on the ropes, and maybe he makes them come January, Nima. We'll see.
Yeah, exactly, and you know, Parsa, there's one other American I wanted to give a massive shout-out to, and that's Jack Sock, who had an amazing under-the-radar end to the season. I mean, this guy went through all of Asia, all of the European events, played 33 matches in 33 days, doubles and singles, and I mean, I think that's only good news for him going into 2017. I know he's not going to stop playing doubles as well, too, and you know, I can definitely see Sock, without a doubt, finishing next year between somewhere to, you know, 10 to 12 at worst case scenario. So watch out for him. And then I really like what I'm seeing from Riley Opelka, another towering American 6 foot what is he, 6 foot 10, 6 foot 11. He's in the Charlottesville finals, I think, today. So watch out for him, because I think he's coming in strong. And I think within 2 years, you're going to have another top 25, top 30 player on the from the American standpoint, another tall guy to take over, you know, the new John Isner 2.0. Better forehand and better backhand and moves better, to be honest. And the serve is pretty much about the same. So that's, you know, those are my thoughts. With that said, Parsa, thank you so much for joining us this week. And thank you, everybody out there, for listening. Be good. Make sure if you're heading down to the Australian Open to hit up Grand Slam Tennis Tours for all your ticket and traveling needs. And join Parsa and I back in a week's time to preview the ATP. Thank you.